see, where did we end up at? 247. All right, we were talking about, have you saved someone's life? And you told us a bunch of stories.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next question on 247 is, has anyone ever saved your life?
Yes.
Tell the story.
Well, when I was POW, I was in the barracks. I had dysentery, diarrhea, really bad. Another place I was at, this was in the Philippines, on Manila.
Okay. Before you were taken over to
Japan. We was in a Philippine Army post. And we was there in that place, and I had the dysentery. Oh, I mean, I was bad, really bad. And we couldn't get any medicine. Norma Lawson, my very good friend, he got out and found 5 sulfafazole tablets. He gave me 3 of them. And I took 2 of them and saved 1 of them. And believe it or not, them sulfafazole tablets checked my diarrhea, because I was at a place laying down on the ground waiting to go unconscious, I guess. And then they just rolled me off in this ditch they dug. That's where they put people that died.
Really? Wow.
During the night, though, with them pills that Arnold gave me, stopped my diarrhea. And from that day on, I got over it. And the 2 pills I had left from what he gave me, I gave to another guy that was lived in the same building I lived in, and he got okay, too.
Just thought, wow. Where did he find those at?
I don't know. I never did know where he got them. He never did tell me either. I don't think somebody gave them to him, I think. And I don't think he recalls or remembered who gave them to him. But anyway, I always thank the Lord for saving my life at that particular time, that the Lord one furnished those bills. Or me and this other guy would have both died if we hadn't got those sulfafazole tablets. Our system was so delicate in a way that medication, just that little bit, saved. It knocked the diarrhea, whatever caused it, it knocked it, and we both got okay, and I never had diarrhea again.
Did your buddy come back and check on you that night and bring you water and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he stayed up all night long seeing if I was okay.
Yeah.
And which I quit having the deal to want to use the bathroom, you know.
Yeah.
And my stomach got okay. I felt better. In fact, I think I even went to sleep.
You did? Wow.
Yeah.
So it turned everything around.
And the next morning I was okay. I got up and went on about whatever it was I was doing.
Did those kind of things happen more than once in
yeah.
Manila and Japan?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, this was in the Philippines.
In the Philippines.
Yeah. And, well, we never went to Japan. To Japan until much later after that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And, but by that time we'd... We got more food to eat and the rest of the things, and we was feeling a lot better. But it was in that camp was about 6,000, and out of that 6,000, there was a whole bunch of them that died in that place. And wherever we was at, another place, there was a deal, and it wasn't that for 100 or so die a night in that place. That was how bad it was. Starvation and diarrhea and malaria fever and all kinds of things that happened to us. Another disease they call beriberi. And that's when your legs start swelling up, they come up your legs and up to your waistline. And if it got up to your heart, it killed you. If the swelling, it done something to the inside of your body. And there's so many other, we had a little. In that place, we had diseases of every kind, some that the doctor they didn't know anything about. The Dr. Campbell, he's one of our main doctors there. And the things was wrong with us, that he had no idea why or what it was.
How did he get any any medicine at all.
He didn't. He had no medicine. All he done was just talk to the men, talk to them, and get them water. And like me, when I had the pneumonia, they bathed me in cold artesian well water. I don't know how long they done that, but eventually my fever broke, and I started coughing. And I think I coughed about 3 days a night, just hacking like that. And at the same time, I was puking up, not puking, but coughing up phlegm.
Uh-huh.
And as I was coughing it up, I could feel it in my lungs. It was getting better, it felt better, it wasn't hurting. And I finally got to where I wasn't coughing at all. And my lungs failed. I think that that and other, like malaria fever stuff, that was why I got this problem with my lungs.
Emphysema and all that.
Yeah.
So really, you had to get over all that stuff on your own without any medicine at all.
Oh, it wasn't.
Everybody was like
that.
Wasn't
no medicine. Now, when I had the pneumonia, I was laying outside on a cement slab like, and they took this artesian well water and bathed me with it to bring my temperature down.
Right.
Bring my fever down. And, finally, they broke the fever and I coughed it up. And I slept for about 3 days and nights without hardly moving.
On 249, has someone important in your life died before you had the opportunity to tell them something? Who was it, and what would you have said?
Well, I don't know of anybody in my lifetime that I wanted to tell them something that died before I could. I don't think I did.
Right.
At anybody.
When in your life were you hurt the most?
When in my life was I hurt the most? Well, I just cannot remember that something happened that hurt, that hurt my feelings or things. But I don't think I ever had a situation like that I can recall.
Have you ever had a feud with someone you love that went on too long?
No, never have. I always managed to make up, talk it out, or do something. And I never had a problem like that.
Have you ever been involved in a destructive relationship?
Destructive? No, never have.
Have you ever been the victim of a con artist?
Never have.
What act or person has been a source of great inspiration in your life?
Well, let's see. What act of inspiration? Well, there's one guy, he's dead now, he passed away this year. A guy named Skip Edwin Rue. When I was first in the Army and learning to drill and all this, he took special care of me to teach me how to do various things. And I hate to see him when he died. Well, when we was in the Philippines, we was going from Manila to Japan, and he almost died on the same business, Arnold Lawson. We fed him and kept him alive, and we got Japan. And which he made it to Japan. As the years passed by, he made it back. But then he lived in Lexington, and he had a problem. I don't know what was wrong, but anyway, this year he died in Japan, in Lexington.
Right.
I'll get it right in a minute.
Okay, describe the funniest, silliest, or most embarrassing events in your adult life. The funniest, silliest, or most embarrassing events in your adult life.
Well, I'm sorry, but I can't think of anything that I was ever embarrassed or in my whole life like that. I never had a problem like that.
Okay, describe the happiest events in your adult life. Happy.
Well, about one of the happiest events in my life is when World War II was over with. And I got set free from the Japanese from a POW camp. And we come back to the United States, and then in about 3 months, after I went through hospitals and was treated and looked at and all that, then I got to come home. And that was one of the happiest, best moments of my life. I couldn't find anywhere else that was as happy as that was.
Yeah, wow.
And there's a whole lot of other young men were the same way. And it was sad, though, that after we got freed from the Japanese, come back to the United States, there was a whole lot of young men that was in pretty bad physical shape, and they died after we got back to White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia Hospital. And I was in pretty good shape, so I made it without any problems. But there was a lot of them, after they got back to the States, they died.
They lived through that whole experience, and they got back to the U.S.
Yeah, then they were sick enough that they died.
Oh,
they would, if they had stayed in prison camp in Japan, they would have died.
Oh.
And the problems they had, they couldn't be cured. They were just, well, I don't know what.
They were sick.
They were sick and they died. It could have been, I don't know, various things, you know, wrong. That caused them to die.
Have you been a victim of a violent crime?
No, never.
Not in the military, not ever?
Not a victim of a violent crime.
Were you ever involved in a major natural disaster?
Well?
Earthquake or tornado or hurricane?
No, never have.
Or tsunami?
No, been very fortunate.
Have you ever witnessed a supernatural event?
None that I know of. I can't think of anything. Nothing.
If you could change the way you handled your most significant relationship, what would you do differently?
I wouldn't do nothing different. It's all worked out okay, and everybody's happy, including me, I think.
If you could change how you raised your children, what would you do differently?
Nothing.
If you have had an addiction, what caused it, and what has been its impact on your life and the lives of your family and friends?
Addiction.
Yeah, like alcoholism or drug addiction or...
No, I have an alcohol or drug addiction. Way back years ago, I used to chew tobacco and smoke, and I got rid of that. I quit smoking, I quit chewing tobacco, and I've been without it for years. And it don't bother me at all. And other things, I don't have other addictions that I can think of, unless my wife tells you I'm addicted to something else.
What are the best and worst business decisions you have ever made, and how did they affect your life?
Business decisions. Well, up to this point, I have been very fortunate. I haven't made any decisions, bad decisions, about anything like that at all. Everything has worked out pretty good. I can't say, well, if I'd have done it this way, it would have been better. But the way we've done things up through our life, for the last 50 years or so, we are happy, and everything is still operating okay.
Page 257. Were you ever destitute?
Destitute? Never.
At this point in your life, of which of your accomplishments are you the proudest?
Oh, well, I think I could say going through World War II and doing the things I should have done as a soldier and getting back home without too much of a problem. That's all I can say.
If you knew it was impossible to fail, what would you set out to accomplish now? If it was impossible to fail, what would you set out to accomplish?
Now? I can't think of nothing. I can't think of anything. Everything's running along pretty good. Everything in our life is good. Our children's life is okay, I think. I don't know of any reason why to change it the way it is.
What do you know now that you wish you had known when you were younger?
What do I know now that I wish I had known when I was younger? I'm sure there are things, but I can't recall anything. It seems like it all through my life, my wife's life, and my children's life, we've all got along pretty daggone good.
So if you could go back and tell yourself, give yourself some advice when you were 19, 20, is there anything you'd tell yourself back then?
No. I would probably do the same thing that I'd done back then, but if I had to, I'd probably do the same thing. It's not too bad at all.
All right. What period in your life did you enjoy the most?
I can say that after World War II and I got home and seen everybody and got back in the groove of doing things, that was my happiest time of my life.
Right there, during that period.
That's right.
That was probably in your 20s, right? You were in your 20s.
Well, yeah, somewhere in that.
20s and 30s.
Yeah, between 20s and 30s, yeah. So that's 34 when me and my wife got married.
Yeah, right.
Something like that.
Yeah, so that period of time was a very good time for you.
Absolutely. It was one of the best times of my life.
If you could live your entire life over again, what would you do differently?
I don't think I would do anything different, because the way it's come out, I think I went along the right trail, and I don't believe I'd change it at all.
Even that period of time you were in the Philippines and Japan, and you wouldn't change that?
No, the Lord looked out after me and kept me going and kept me alive and going through things, and I'll leave it like it is.
All right, that ends that section, and we'll start a new section now on page 263. It's called Beliefs, Values, Lessons, and Advice. All right? And so these are questions asked so that you can tell other people what you believe in. All right? And so the first question on 265 is, what is the meaning of life?
What is the meaning of life? The meaning of life is, I guess, is to live, grow to be grown, and select things that you would want to do all your life and help other people. That's about all I can think.
What do you believe is a real mystery of life?
A real mystery of life is things that happen to you and you cannot understand why it's doing it that way. That's the way I see it. I try to do this and do that, things, I think I'm doing it right, but then later I found out I didn't do it right. Then at that time I think, well, why didn't I do it this way instead of doing it that way? But that's the way our life is, and that's the way we have to live it.
Explain your deepest values. What do you value the most in life and in people? And
my health, more than anything else. And I value my wife and children for what they are and how they handle themselves. I've never had any problem with my children or my wife. We've all lived together and got along together, and nobody can beat that.
What advice do you have about getting through difficult times and coping with the changes?
Well, all I can say is get somebody that's very intelligent and get their advice and see what they can do to help you do things. It always helps to get somebody that can help you and advise you for things that you cannot or do not understand or know what to do about it. That's all I can think about.
What advice can you give regarding college and higher education?
I think any young man or woman, if they can go and can get the way of going, the parents can help them go, they should go to college and get an education. I was one of these country boys, and I never got a chance to go to college or high school or anything else. But as things go, I have managed to do just about everything that I set my mind to do.
Do you have any advice on choosing a career?
Yes, I do. Is to get out and look over a lot of things and see if that suits you and if you would like to do that the rest of your life. And that's about it. It's up to you to look and find what you want to do as a career in your life. And just don't jump into something and then you find later on that wasn't what you wanted at all. So take your time and hunt it up. I joined the Army. I wasn't real sure what I was coming out of, but as time went along, I've had some hard times, but I've also had some good times. And it's worked its way out through life. I wouldn't change it. Well, the parts of it I would change, but other parts I wouldn't change. That went along, got along okay, and everything has worked its way out.
What advice do you have for getting along with others?
Well, the idea with others is know the people that you're talking to and see what their background is, what they like in life, and what they like to talk about and like to do. So get along with them, talk to them, and get yourself in a mood that you can talk to them and agree with them or give them advice on things. If it's a person that won't take no advice, the best thing to do is just leave them alone and go on about your business.
What are the elements of real friendship?
The elements of real friendship is a person that helps you, helps me or you do the things that you need help. They never take advantage of you in some reason or another. They always try to, whatever it is you're doing or have to do, they will help you do it. And they try to do everything as equally for you as if you would do to them. And that's the way friendship is. Help each other do things, even though sometimes you may think you're going to lose your life over it. But work things out and they normally will come out without too much of a problem. I know in my life I've met several young men my age that's helped me live through things that if I hadn't had them, I wouldn't have never made it. But as time goes on, I think they're friends and will always be friends. I can name a few names, but it's no sense. Alan Lawson is one friend that hadn't been for him, I wouldn't be here today. I would have died somewhere along the line. And there are other people that has helped me and I've helped them. And as long as I live, I will try to help other people and I hope they'll help me. That's the way life is. Help and be helped and help each other. That's a good way to look at anything. And we try to do that. Me and my wife, we try to help everybody that we possibly can help to make their life easier or to get along better. That's about all I can say about that.
How do you feel about abortion?
Abortion? Well, I can't make an opinion on that because I never will have an abortion. And I don't know why the people have abortions. What their reason? They must have a good reason for abortion. So I don't really have a comment about it.
How do you feel about the death penalty?
There are some people that needs to be executed because they're not worth to let live. and we see it every day in the paper about some human beings killing another family, four or five people, and various things like that. People abusing small children, or small girls, all the time. There should be a standard penalty for something like that. If that happens, it's like a dog that goes mad, that hurt people. We always kill mad dogs. When a human being goes like that, they ought to annihilate him too. That's the way I see it.
Do you believe that the media have too much influence?
Well, in some things, yes. But I can't right off hand say what. We see it on TV every day about this and that and other things, and it shouldn't even be mentioned or even talked about. I'll give one example. Our neighbor was sick, and they had a deal on TV about her sickness, and they just made a statement that anybody had that rarely ever got over it. Now, we don't know if she heard this or not. But in my opinion, that should never, ever been brought to the public. That is a doctor's responsibility to tell any human being, if they have a sickness, about what it's going to do to them, how it's going to affect them, and as far as how long they're going to live and all that. After World War II, the doctors told me, if I live 10 years, I'd be lucky. Well, I've been living more than 10 years up to this point. And they also told me that if I got married, we'd never have no children. Well, that was a bunch of bull, too. I got married, and we had two fine young men. And proud of them.
All right, what quality do you consider most important in making a marriage work?
Making a marriage work is the wife and the husband help each other, talk to each other, listen to each other. And if you need advice, get somebody that's a person that you can depend on, somebody that you know very well. But it's up to the male and female to talk to each other and work things out. Don't just fly off the handle and talk and say, I'm leaving, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Work things out. Talk them over. Ask for advice if necessary. And me and my wife, we holler at each other once in a while, but it's nothing serious. It's just a wake-up call, that's all.
What advice do you have regarding divorce and remarriage?
Well, I can't make any judgment on that because I'm not real sure of what things happen between peoples that call them to get divorce and then remarriage. I can't make any comment on that at all.
What advice do you have on parenting?
Well, today in our country, the parents, in my opinion, from what I see of young people, the parents are not guiding the young people down the right trail so that they will know what to do and how to do it and get along in life without any problem. That's the way I see it. The parents, in a lot of cases, is not telling their children how to do, what to do, and when to do it. And that is the way they should do it. That's the parents' responsibility. They tell their children the right way to do things, how to do things, and when not to do things. That's the whole thing in a nutshell right there.
What is your religious preference, and what are the basic principles of your religion?
Well, I'm a Protestant. I go to church. I believe in the Lord. And I know the right from wrong, and I ask the Lord to forgive me for things that I do every day. And I'm full-hearted that the Lord will take care of me in my older days, and maybe, I'm sure, and up to this point, He'll send me to heaven, I hope. And my wife said, don't say hope, say He will do it. And I'll repeat again, up to this point, I don't believe I've sinned enough, and I think the Lord will send me to heaven. and then I'll meet all my other mothers and my mother and father and my sisters and brothers. I'm hoping that will happen.
Have you changed your religion during your lifetime?
No, same thing.
What does God mean to you?
Well, God means is the way that life that He will take care of us. He helps us get through life, gets us well from bad things, and treats us so that we will treat things right, and that's the way the Lord would want it. That we do things to help other people and help the world.
Are there some beliefs you have had but have given up?
No, no. All of that Protestant, that's all I've ever had. Let me back off. When I was doing the war, in World War II, our enemy would not allow us to have a Protestant preacher to have Sunday school classes or preach to it. They wouldn't allow us to have it. But they would let us have a Catholic priest preach to us our services. And I thought that was pretty silly. They wouldn't let us have Protestant, but they would let us have Catholic. We found out that the enemy, they was more Catholic than they were Protestant. And that's why they let us have Catholic services. And the priest that was there, they understood that. So their services was more Protestant than it was Catholic.
Was it?
But the Japanese, they didn't know the difference. And we had it on Sunday or whenever we could, just like if we was having it here in the United States. And every Christmas, we had Christmas plays, and the Japanese let the Catholic priests have it. And we enjoyed that very much.
What are some of your favorite religious verses?
Well, I don't know. I can't right off hand just think of anything. I can't tell you. I don't have any. There are a lot of preference. But right at this time, I can't get them to come out in the way they should.
You can't point at it and say
no.
It.
Uh-uh.
If you could ask one question of God, what would it be?
Ask God one question. When I meet my end of life on this earth, Lord, will I see any of my mothers, fathers, sisters, or brothers when I go to heaven? I've ever preached that when we die and go to heaven, we will meet our mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers. And I'm asking Him sometime, just give me a little secret and tell me, will I actually do that? I think I will. I hope we will.
If you do, you come back and tell me, okay?
I will. I'll give you the word.
How often do you pray?
Every night when I go to bed.
And what is the reason for prayer?
It's every day I do something I shouldn't have done. And then there are people that are sick and various other things. I pray for them to get better, for the Lord to take them, because they're suffering real bad. And we just had a neighbor that I'm sure she went to heaven, and she suffered really bad for a long time. And the Lord eventually took her to heaven. At least we think He did anyway. Me and my wife, we prayed every night for her forgiveness, anything that she may have done through her life. And praise the Lord that He would be easier and take her to heaven.
Have you become more spiritual as you've gotten older?
I have. I do.
Do you believe in angels? Who or what are they?
Well, I know it's a hard thing to believe, but I do believe. I believe there are angels, because there's too much said about angels. And we see it on our television about angels. Yes, I believe there are angels. Some people right here today. The way they act, the way they do, they're angels. And we got some of them that, the way they act and do that, they're devils too.
Do you believe in miracles?
Yes, I believe in miracles. I've seen them happen. At least I thought it was a miracle.
Do you believe humans have souls? And if so, what is a soul?
I don't know. I can't answer that. I don't know. I've heard about souls, but I'm not sure what I'd be talking about.
Do you believe in an afterlife?
Yes.
What do you think it's like?
Well, afterlife is a good place to go to us, and we'll live forever and ever and ever. And that's just the way I see it.
What is the most mystifying experience you've had?
Mystifying experience that I've had? Well, I can't think of anything. I know years back, there was a lot of mystifying things, but I keep using the war for various things. When World War II started, the Japanese attacked Clarksville, the Philippines. There was shelling and bombing and things, and everything was flying all over the area, and I never got a scratch. I can't understand that. Still don't understand it either. There's a lot of other times, like a piece of shrapnel went through my head right here. I still got a groove there. And then a motorcycle hit the ground and it scattered, it rolled, scooted and slid, and I did too. The pilot stopped turning and rolling and I sat up, and when that did, it was something got my head, like shook my head. And I still was about half out, I guess. If something wrapped something around my head and scratched it up, and I still couldn't figure out what was going on. Finally, it came to my mind, and I looked up, and there was a woman walking down this road. And I found out she was a Filipino nurse going to work, and the hospital was about half a mile across the field. But I figured it out. When me and that motorcycle was tearing up the ground, and I was tearing up the ground too, my head hit in it. And she must have been along the road there where this shell hit, went through my head, or scraped it or whatever. And I sat up, and she was right there, and she got me in. I don't know, stick a bandage or something and wipe my head all clean, put a bandage around my head to keep it from bleeding. I probably would have bled to death. And I still couldn't figure out just what was taking place. And I did think, I said, Lord, that was an angel.
She saved your life there, didn't she?
She did.
And walked on?
She went on. I've seen her going.
Did you ever find out who she was or anything?
Yeah, she was a nurse in this hospital over there, but I never ever seen her again.
You didn't?
No. But anyway, finally somebody come along and helped me get up, but that was Christmas Day at 1 o'clock in the day, 41. And my maintenance people, they come by. So what I was doing is leading the truck that had the food on it for the men, the tankers. I was leading it down this road, and the Japanese was firing the shell across a river, and it hit in the tree, and a piece of shrapnel went through my head, or scraped my head. And the next day I finally got to the doctor, the medics, and they cleaned me all up, and the doctor said, if that would have went just a skin thickness deeper, you'd be dead.
Wow.
Right there, right? But it was sore for about 2 weeks. I sat in the back with my maintenance truck in a rocking chair. I couldn't walk. And they took care of me. They fed me and took me to the bathroom out of that truck. And eventually I got where I could get around okay.
Healed up.
It healed up. It healed up and well, I kept a bandage on it all the time. It was quite an ordeal, I'll assure you.
What can young people learn from their elders?
They can learn the ways of life, and they ought to listen to them if it's suitable. Some elders and people we got today is not fit to raise children. That's the way I see it.
Who is the wisest person you've ever met?
The wisest person I've ever met. I don't know. I think maybe my wife. I'm not joking. She's a very smart person. And I would say that.
Okay. Why do we experience pain?
Why do we experience it? Well, there's something about your nerves that cut them short that causes you to go, pain go to your brain or wherever it goes to. I guess that's what it is. I experience pain sometime when I mash my finger or stump my toe or fall over something. And I guess that's the way of taking care of yourself. Like saying, watch it, you just hurt yourself.
What brings happiness?
Well, something that you want to do, then somebody tells you, go ahead and do it. Or various other things, like you want to buy something and you was unsure whether you wanted to do it or not, and somebody else that you know real well says, oh, go ahead and get it. Then you go on and get it. Maybe.
That brings happiness.
That's right.
If you had only 1 week to live, what would you do?
If I had only 1 week to live, well, I'd try to find everybody that I've ever been mean to and apologize to them and tell them, forgive me. Then I'd be as good and humble to everybody I knew and try to get them to forgive me for things that I'd done to them or things I should have done for them or against them or something.
That's sort of the next question. Have you made peace with everyone important in your life?
I believe I have. I don't know of anybody that that dislikes me, unless it's Lacey. She didn't dislike me.
No. What's the most important gift we can give to another human being?
Gift? Well, I'd say if somebody that you knew that was going the wrong road or not doing things, help them out as much as you possibly can by financial help or whatever is necessary to help them get over a trouble spot in their life, to get something done so they could go on and develop themselves and increase their way of living, or better their way of living. And me and my wife, we try to do that, to help people that needs helping. We do it. There's some people that we should help, I guess we don't. We look at them and figure they don't need any help. All they need is help themselves. But we do the best we can.
What's the hardest lesson you've ever had to learn?
What's the hardest lesson I have to learn? Well, the lesson that I think is take care of yourself and the people around you. Do that. Do the best you possibly can. And you still will find that you goofed up somewhere along the way. So do the best you can as you go through life. Help everybody you can, help yourself, and learn as much as you possibly can. Look and listen. This is one of the best things you can do.
When do you think you learned that lesson?
When?
Yeah.
All my life. All my life.
Did you do that when you were younger?
Or was it
something that you picked up after you got back from Japan?
Yeah.
Or was it something that became more ingrained when you got married?
Well, it helped, but all even back years ago when I was young, I helped everybody I could. Young boys, my age, but always through my life, I liked to box, have a little fights and stuff like that. I never did hurt anybody real bad. But I like to help people. I know of some young men my size, people beat up on them, and I didn't like that at all. And the ones doing the beating up, I see if I can beat them up. I know that's not very good, and I shouldn't have done that, but I think a lot of cases, you take a bully, a guy that runs over younger or smaller, that is sure didn't work along with me. I didn't go along with that at all. When I was in the United States Army, I was in the Army 25 years, and I was always watching out for somebody that was overbearing to the men that was under them or something like that. And I didn't like it, and I sure told them I didn't like it. Just like today in the Army, we got non-commissioned officers that's been tried for abusive to their trainees, the troops they're learning, teaching to be soldiers. And that is about the worst thing I can think of, is a man, a grown man, being brutal, abusive to the young soldiers that's going in the armed forces. That's not right. It never was right in my book, and it's not right today. And I never did. I never did put up with it. I know I'm not the biggest man in the world, but I was always able to take care of myself. And if I see somebody, an NCO, abusing a young man or something, don't you think I didn't try to straighten them up? And I'm still that way today. That's terrible. Young men come into service, they're scared to death, they don't know what's going to take place, and then some big brute abuse them and do everything they can think of to them. I don't know why they do it in the first place. A young man is like an animal. You holler at them and cuss at them and fuss at them, they ain't going to do nothing then.